recorded live.
Welcome all to another week of Married Men Don't Talk. That's a new name if you didn't get it, but everybody on here gets it because I see who's on here. So we all family. Anyway, I hope everybody had a good week. We got a couple ground rules, no profanity, and it's not Bible study. I'm going to try. I mean, you will not hear me quote a Bible verse tonight. But some of the conversation may be related. Tonight's topic is my marriage curse. I want to talk about a man named John Will. My
Who?
Grandfather. John Will.
Okay.
My grandfather. John Will did a lot of things. He did some drinking. I'm pretty sure he did some womanizing. He was abusive. I know this for a fact. And divorced. He was... I never really meshed with him too much. We didn't get along well just because of the personality. You know, he wasn't like, you know, I would go down and spend my summers with him, me and my cousin. But I never really liked going over to his house when it was our turn. You know what I mean? I always said, just let me stay over at my grandmother's house. Because he is buck wild. He would get drunk, pull out his gun. You know what I mean? Threaten to shoot us. You know, one night it got so bad, he got twisted. I mean, and back then, you know, it was moonshine.
Right.
So that's that 100 million proof, you know. And it just seemed like every night he turned the volume up on that alcohol and turned into somebody else. But he was like a mad drunk. You know, some people get drunk, start crying. Some people get drunk, get jolly. He was one of the mad drunks. And he was a hunter, too. He had dogs in the back, so he'd hunt, you know, on the weekends. So, you know, he always kept his shotgun close by. He would get drunk and threaten to shoot the grandkids. It's bad. So I remember one night, he went through his thing, and me and my cousin was there. I said, all right, well, you stay here. I'm going to run. I'm going to jump over the bushes. I jumped over the bushes, ran across the highway, ran down to my uncle's house. And my uncle was his son, and my father was over there. He happened to be down in North Carolina for the weekend, and they came back over, you know what I'm saying, put him down, put him to bed, got the kids out. It was a disaster. But that's what I remember about my grandfather. And like I said, he got divorced from my grandmother, and that was his story. So then, growing up with my father, he had a lot of the same characteristics of his father. He womanized, he drank a lot, he was abusive, everything, all of that. But he never got divorced. And then me, womanized, had a lot of alcohol, not the abusive part, though. Maybe verbally, but not the physical abuse like my father and his father. But anyway, and then I actually did get divorced. But the question I want to throw out to the group, what chance did I really have of becoming a good husband? If you look at this story of this family tree, and this is a few generations. I don't know my grandfather's father, so I don't know how he rolled. But I'm talking about the people that I actually were able to visualize how they responded to certain things. What were my chances of being a good husband?
I say slim to none. And
I agree.
Yeah, and I think at least in your first marriage, that proved to be true. Unfortunately, because, as you said, you exhibited some of the same behaviors, maybe not exactly, but the negative behaviors that you saw and witnessed and experienced firsthand, it kind of, you know, reemerged in your own marriage, your own first marriage, and, you know, the had the same outcome as your grandfather, ended up in divorce.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, to your question, I think it, unfortunately, it didn't give you much of a chance at all.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, because there was times where my father would take me with him and he'd have his girlfriend in the car. You know what I mean? And to him, it might have been cool or it might have just been inconvenient that he was out with his chick on the side, but he had his son.
Right.
So he had to kill two birds with one stone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just trying to put one and one together.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because he was still married. He wasn't, I'm leaving your mom. It was none of that. It was, I'm still married. I'm still in this thing. But this is Sabrina or whatever her name was.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm in the back seat. They in the front seat. You know, and then he tells me, just don't tell your mom. You see what I'm saying? Like, that was supposed to be, okay, he gave me this big responsibility. I'm a man now. I got a secret to keep.
Yeah.
You see, but when you have that interaction with your dad and you value it, but in actuality it's garbage.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I value the garbage.
I'm falling in love with that, man. I mean, you know, my dad was, to me, he was, you know, Papa was a Rolling Stone. You know, great dad at home. You know, but when he walked out the door, you're talking about, you know, player of the year.
Wow.
Everywhere he'd go, he, you know, it was just women flaunted to him.
And was he from North Carolina, too?
And they would flaunt to him while I was with him, when I was little.
Now, was it your grandfather, or was it your father or your grandfather?
My father.
And now, was he from North Carolina, too?
Yeah.
Must be something in the water down there.
I mean, but Peter, what about your grandfather?
Well, my grandfather, as far as I know, he's totally opposite. He married my grandmother. They lived walking distance in, away. And every time I've seen her, she was with him, you know. That's what I kind of value myself by. But then, but when I was young, I kind of valued myself around my pops, because I looked at it, this is the way you're supposed to get girls.
But Tony, was you say your father had his girlfriend with you, but did you ever experience that with your grandfather at all?
I didn't.
No, because when I came on the scene, and started going to North Carolina for summers, we would go down there for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents had already been divorced.
Okay.
And I never saw, I don't ever remember seeing my grandfather with a woman. And if he did, you know, he might have went over to their house or whatever. I mean, that's one thing. But I heard stories of him, you know what I mean, being that type of person while he was married.
Right, but you didn't witness it firsthand.
I didn't witness it firsthand. But that's the dynamic of this thing. You don't have to witness it. You know, it just kind of some way attaches itself to you.
Right.
You know.
Do you think that, now you say you witnessed it with your father, did you ever do that with your children? Did you ever have your girlfriend?
I did. I did. Different.
And did you tell them, like, hey, you know, don't tell mommy, you know, or did you just kind of?
The time that I did it, both times I was separated.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had a couple separations in my first term.
Right.
And I was separated, and I did it. I thought it was legitimate. I was like, you know, we separated. Well, I don't know if we're going to get back. And, you know, we always throw that term around, legally separated, but you don't have no papers. Y'all just
right.
moved out. Somebody just moved out, you know. And I always felt, well, you know, I'm moving on, and, you know, I want my kids to meet my new whoever.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't know. I didn't really understand how detrimental it was. And then you think about how I saw it go down with my father, so it really wasn't breaking the law to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, good words.
But you know, it's just things that happen. They talk about when a mother or father does wrong. I'm just going to say does wrong, because again, it's not Bible study, so let me just say something wrong, that the generations get cursed three to four generations after that. Take this family curse. And you know, and to read that or to hear that, you can sit there and say, yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that I had to do a self-evaluation. I was like, some of the things that my grandfather did, I did. And I didn't even like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He was not my favorite person at all. You know, I liked my father. You know what I mean? That was my man. But certain things that I watched him do, I picked up. You know, and now, and I had daughters, and thank God that my daughters both have boyfriends, and they're faithful to them. You know, was there a question?
No, I've been through the exact same thing where I think even with us, my sister probably took it harder than I did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She saw it too. But I was part of it, because I was like the escape goat. So, you know, my dad, when I was younger, sometimes would use me as a screen.
Mm.
So he can get his thing done. Yeah, me and, you know, like, we'll go fishing, and there's a pond at the park. I'll be out there fishing. And he'll be on the other side, supposed to be playing tennis. But after a while, he's sitting there, you know, he over there talking to somebody in the car.
Yeah, he was fishing too.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when you little, you look at his thing, you don't kind of, he must have thought I wasn't thinking about it at some of the times when I was younger, that I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he just saw somebody in there and just started talking to him.
But, you know, it was set up.
Right. Meet me at the pond.
I told him one day, I said, I'm you, man. I'm going to marry you, man. I know everything what you do.
Mm.
I, wow. You know, then I found myself doing it.
Mm.
When I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, to the host's point about, you know, when the mother or father does something and it's three or four generations down the line where it repeats, I don't think we don't look that far, you know, beyond, excuse my French, but busting the nut. You know, it's
yeah.
I mean, it's literally, it's just like that's the mission, you know, as the brothers say, you know, meet the such and such at the pond. You know, got my little boy here, but, you know, it's we don't look beyond how that's going to affect the first generation that actually witnesses it. And in your case, Mr. Host, you didn't even, you know what I mean? It's, you didn't even like your grandfather, but yet you were repeating some of his same behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I didn't, the crazy part about all of this is that I did not think about that till this week. Doing this topic, you know what I'm saying, is my marriage curse. I didn't think about that during this week. And then the mean streak between my father and his father. There was a mean, I'm talking a mean streak. Anytime you say, you know what, man, I'm twisted, I'm going to pull my gun out and point it at my grandkids. That's a mean streak.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know.
taking it over the top right there.
That's taking it over the top. That's taking it over the top. You know, and I remember one night, my mother and father got into it, and he hit her. Right? And then the police came, locked them up. Now, the police station was probably 4 blocks from my house. Right. I don't know how old, though. I might have been 13. I walked out the house. Now I'm mad because my mother had my father locked up. That was the mentality. I'm walking past. I'm in front of the, walking by the precinct, knowing my father's in there, and I'm mad as I don't know what at my mother. Meanwhile, she's black and blue.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? That's the crazy part to it. I was so wrapped up in my father being the almighty dad, player, that I couldn't understand that he was the one that was in the wrong.
Mm. So you're mad at your mom?
Yeah, I was, because now my father's locked up. And it was just overnight.
Sure.
He came back the next day. Because back then, domestic abuse wasn't like it is now. It was like, yeah, you get out in the morning when you sober up, y'all just go work it out.
Right.
but again, you know, it was warped. Warped, you know. So when I think about this, is my marriage cursed? My marriage could have been cursed before I got married. My marriage could have been cursed before I was born.
That's deep.
You see what I'm saying? Here I am, I get into a marriage, la 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 la, everything, I want to be happy. Then some mean streak comes out that I know nothing, I don't know why. You know what I mean? And it's something that I watched or didn't watch or I heard about or just something that's in me. And not me per se, but I'm just, it could be any one of us.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But what makes, and maybe this is somebody on this line, what makes a son not want to be like their own father?
Watching him do the things that you know was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I watched my old man do the same thing. And, you know, contrary to popular belief of, you know, him being, you know, player, whatever the case may be, I see my old man destroy his life because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my French. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We understand.
But, you know, I'm very picky with the women I deal with, you know. And I'm shaping my mind because of him, because I witnessed it. My mother left him while she was pregnant with me, you know, because of his antics. Even though I have an older brother, you know what I'm saying? She took me and him, you know, from the house that, you know, they had, you know, they were living in. So it was like, as far as the stuff that he pulled. When I finally moved to my father's house after my 7th grade year, you know, it was like, you know, he was married to his second wife, and it started all over again. He did the same, pretty much the same thing he did, you know, with my mother. He did with my sister's mother, and my whole life changed because of him. And I don't want to put no kids of mine in the same predicament that he put me in.
Wow.
And I realized this, and I don't want, you know, that I don't want to be like him at, you know, now. My father is a changed man now. He's a lot more humble. He's a nicer guy. You know, he let a lot of stuff pass that he didn't do when I was young, or that, you know, when me and my older brother were young. However, you know what I'm saying? I seen this, and, you know, I told myself, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like him. If I'm going to get married, it's going to, you know, it's a one-time thing. So I have to be very picky with the woman that I choose. Because I don't want to end up being married three times like my father.
Wow.
And every my brother, my older brother, had his appendix taken out years ago. You know, about 3-4 years ago. Can you imagine the room? My father, his first wife, his second wife, his current wife, my brother laying in the bed, my sister from his second marriage, my brother from his third marriage and current marriage, and all his wives and his mother in the same room. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be like that.
Wow.
Now, I wasn't there because I was on the road, you know, typical truck driver shit.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying? If I was a fly on the wall, I could see the tension. You could cut it with a knife of the pent-up tension that was in that room. And well, none of that my father could say because he caused all this. I don't want to be like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. Wow.
Yeah.
The worst.
I mean, but you know, so, but you made a decision.
Right.
You made a decision that the curse has got to stop. It stops with you.
But you know the crazy thing about it is, his daddy wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying?
So it started with him?
Exactly. His father wasn't like that. His father died. My grandfather died at 88.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And to this day, my grandmother won't marry nobody else. She waiting to die to be with him. Literally.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Matter of fact, both my granddaddies ain't like that. Now, granted, my mother's father, you know, divorced. That because my you know, his first wife was crazy. I ain't lying, my grandma crazy. She shelled. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, his second wife, they were together for 30 years, 30-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So both my granddaddies won't like that. But my father was. You dig what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I ain't trying to be like him. As far as that level, nah, bro. I ain't trying to be like that.
So how did your brother and sister take it? I mean, as far as, like, in relationships, I mean, are they in healthy relationships, or did that kind of affect them?
Well, my sister right here doing my feet. I love my sister, man. My sister giving me a pedicure right now when I'm talking to y'all.
Yeah, beautiful.
I love my sister. That's my baby. You know what I mean? However, you know, she's in a very healthy relationship. Matter of fact, her boyfriend's sitting right beside me.
Yeah.
There it is.
He got a phone in his hand?
Tell him to put a phone in his hand.
Yeah, put a phone in his hand.
Tell him to get on this thing.
Want to talk to you,
hope
man.
I'm needs blessing too.
Yeah. I'm dead serious. I know he got a phone on his zip.
Nah, put it on speaker, man. Put it on speaker. Everybody can get it on this one.
Hey, I'm on, I got my, you know, my Bluetooth or whatnot, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
tell him Dollar what's up, man. Tell him Dollar what's up.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but... It's funny, man, how...
Hey, fellas, hold on one second. He must have like, yo, put it on speakerphone. Hold on one second.
All right. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, it's funny how the stories are similar.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear something different, though. And I'm pretty sure somebody on this phone has got something different. Well, they didn't experience that. And they didn't turn out that. You know what I mean? Is there anybody that probably, you know, their father flew straight, grandfather flew straight, so now they fly straight? Or we all just got our own history?
I think we all got our own history, and it's all unique. I know particularly for me, you know, I just grew up with my mother.
Yeah.
So, you know, what would make me not want to be like my father is the fact that I'm really impressing upon myself to make sure that I continue to do everything I can to keep my household in the best place possible so that I can remain with my family, so that I don't end up like that. But what's crazy is the fact that, you know, some of the things that I guess make up my father and have made him up that my mom remembers, I have no clue about. So, you know, I'm in a unique situation with being able to, I don't even know how to combat what could potentially be coming my way because I have no idea.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I know that at different points when I do get a little amped about things and I talk to my mother about it because my mom, honestly, is in my top three of best friends.
Sure.
And, you know, I talk to her about things, you know, she'll be like, wow, you really remind me of your father there. And I have to ask her, what reminds you of that? Because I have no idea. I don't know. So I think for me, you know, I didn't have the example of seeing what happened. I've heard from him. I've heard from her as to why the divorce occurred. You know, there's all different versions of stories, and it's been many years, so I'm sure it's all convoluted down all over the place. But it's one of those things where I don't have a reference point. And the only thing I can focus on doing is making sure that the end result is not, you know, similar to the life that I came up in. Even though it was great, my mother did everything possible to get me to where I need to be. I mean, I don't want to go down that path. I think the scary part for me, though, is looking at my mother's side of the family and not so much my dad's side of the family. On the mother's side of the family, she's one of 13. Everybody's divorced.
Wow.
Wow.
Everybody. Nobody made it.
So wait a minute. So did anybody just not get married, or they all? It's like 13, at least 13 divorces.
13 people went to the plate and struck out.
Wow. Did anybody multiple times? Wow. Anybody?
No, nobody got married twice, but everybody got married once
and gave it up.
And everybody, every last one. Now the difference is that from my mother's side of the family, and I didn't. Everybody talks about this. I never met my grandfather because he passed away. The same year I was born, actually, he passed away. But my mother's dad he was aggressive. It had like the, everybody just said, you know, that you really didn't have to hear what his name was Major, what Major was saying. You just felt it.
Wow.
Because that's how he operated. So I don't know if the men maybe saw that and that's how they operated. And the women maybe saw that and they just knew they weren't going to be in a situation to even remotely mimic that. So that's the only thing that I can say from a dynamic. Now, I will say this, that my grandparents on my mother's side, they stayed together until he passed away. I mean, they just, I guess, grinned and bared it and went through the whole process. But all of my mom's siblings, and she's the second youngest of 13, nobody. All of them divorced.
They have children? Most of them have kids?
Yeah, everybody's got a lot. Well, my mom and one of my aunts and an uncle are the only ones that have one. Everybody else has got five plus.
Wow.
Good Lord.
That's a lot of kids. But what I wanted to ask you, sir, is that you said your grandfather died the year you were born, and weren't your parents divorced the year you were born?
Yep. Yep, they got divorced 2 weeks before I was born.
So
it was final. It was a wrap. It was over with. But they were married for 5 years.
So as the host was saying earlier about, that was beyond your control. You know, your grandfather passing, the ink being dry 2 weeks before you came into the world. I mean, that's, as the host said, I mean, you had your chances of being successfully married were, by those odds, slim to none.
Yeah. And in all honesty, I mean, you know, especially when I think about the dynamics of looking at, you know, the family that I was close to, which was my mom's side, and seeing everybody strike out.
Wow.
You know, and it was all at different times, you know, all over the place, and all these lives impacted. But, yeah, I think it's one of those things where you just say to yourself, okay, how does it impact me what can I do here? Because then when I look at my cousins, my mom's siblings, you know, I think there's only, and there's a lot of us. there's only maybe three of us that are married.
Hmm?
That's it. And there's a lot of cousins.
To each, you know, somebody got five plus. I mean, how many, you talking about, what, 30 cousins or something?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. I mean, pretty much. It's about that many because I'm trying to think. One, two, yeah. Yeah, everybody's got at least five. And there, I've got an aunt that has nine. I have another aunt that has eight. I have, maybe she has. Yeah, she's got five. Yeah, so, I mean, it's about 30, and there's only three of us. Tyvon's married, Eron's married, and myself. That's it. And the unfortunate piece is that most of the other ones that are of age, they just having babies. Nobody has any aspirations to do anything, taking in that direction to get married, moving in that direction, nothing.
Wow.
And it's unfortunate because a lot of the discussions right now, as my mom and her siblings are aging, are who's gonna step up to the plate and really kind of help those individuals that are aging out and make some decisions in the family and do some of the stuff. Well, it's virtually impossible to really have those conversations because there's only a handful of us that are, you know, really capable by any means to maybe do some of that. And then the other piece is the rest of them, I mean, the agent are taking care of their kids. So they really never had a chance to not be around kids.
Wow.
I mean, it's a crazy, crazy.
All right, go ahead.
And it is just one of those things where you try to figure it out. So I think that's what makes my situation. It's not the same situation as what you gentlemen were talking about with your fathers. But it is something where I think personally for me, I didn't see it. I don't know. I didn't witness any of it.
Sure.
But I'm in a state where I'm trying to figure out some of the things that are surrounding me and how I handle things.
Yeah.
Because I've even had, you know, some of my aunts and uncles say, man, wow, you sound like your father on that one.
Mm.
You know, and most of the time, honestly, it stems around stuff that where I seem to be getting a little worked up. And I appear to be a little aggressive. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that ultimately, and I think I've expressed this at a different point with you gentlemen on the phone before, is I got to have a conversation with my dad and kind of try to find out this other side that keeps trying to poke out at different points.
Yeah.
Because it's not positive.
You want to know where it's coming from.
Yeah. And just to know what, because, I mean, at this point, you know, when I talk to my father, he, you know, I'm not going to downplay it. But he's a man of God now. You know, he's quoting me verses and all types of stuff and sending me little things when we just talk. And it's blowing my mind because I'm like, yo, this is hilarious. But okay.
I'll roll with it.
You know, but it's one of those things that I don't want to laugh at it.
Right.
When it actually could maybe help me to maybe get to that point a lot sooner than later.
Yeah, redemption, fella. Redemption.
So, you know, that's the unique situation that I'm in, fellas. I didn't witness it, but I'm going through and I hear different people reference me to my father and some of the actions and things that are done, and I got to figure it out. Whereas you all saw it, and you don't need to figure it out.
Yeah.
You maybe went that same road, or maybe you didn't, but you know that's not where you want to be, and you're not feeling that. Whereas I don't know. I have no idea. I've got to seek it out now. And I may like what I find out. I might not.
Yeah. But it's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a lot of the unanswered questions now you'll have answers to, and now you'll know how to control a certain situation. But the thing that I heard out of all of that was 13 divorces.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
13 sets 13. Of I don't know how many children, right, that may not have a chance to have a happy marriage. The product of those 13 marriages may not have a chance, just like I didn't.
Mm.
You know, and we don't think. I mean, because now it's like, well, if it don't work, I'm out. First argument, I'm out. First financial difference, I'm out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's, okay, well, we don't have to work at this thing. We don't have to work in a marriage because guess what? In the family, that's we just got divorced.
Right.
And not to pick on your family, but I know how it is because some parts of my family is the same way.
You know, the scary part about that is the fact that the curse almost promotes itself because the dynamics of how the family structure is
yes.
Well, then you just take care of each other, you know, which is great to some degree, but the necessity of being able to encourage, you know, seeking out counseling, looking to other means, getting help and doing other things, it's okay. So it's like if you don't work out, y'all get divorced, you can come back to the big house and live here.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, I understand that, okay, yeah, it's, like I said, it's, to have that sense of taking care of one another and taking care of family, but that's crazy because I'm going to be honest with you. It's whether you realize it or not, it's positioning or presenting it as, you know, it's enabling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe enabling is the wrong word, but it looks like, hey, if it doesn't work out, you can always come back to the big house, and we can be 55 deep in this 1 6-bedroom place. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But that's really how it plays out.
Yeah. I look at these ancestry.com, these commercials, and people going to try to track down their family tree, and you see the commercial about the people saying, "Yeah, my whatever was a businessman
or an acrobat
or whatever it is, you know, something great, something successful."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But are we looking for the wrong things? I mean, think about this. Wouldn't you want to find out what kind of temperament your great, great, great grandfather had, if there is a curse involved in the family? Or you know, was he married 100 times or was he,
right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Because right now the brother said, he doesn't know what to expect because he didn't grow up with his father. He don't know. Anything can come out the woodwork. And if his father doesn't tell him and the siblings don't tell him, he'll never know.
Never know.
And that's a blind, you know, and that's the blind side. But I'm going to tell you something very interesting. I was talking to my wife Sunday, and she's got 2 brothers, right?
Biological or what?
2 biological brothers.
Okay.
They have, but they have the same father. They all have the same father, different mother.
Okay.
Right. They both got vasectomies because they did not want to have kids because of the abandonment that they got from their father.
What?
Yes.
At what age? Do you know what I mean?
I guess when they were old enough to have the procedure.
So they have no kids?
No kids.
Crazy.
After them, the family tree dies. Boom, it's done.
Wow.
Generation is over. But you want to know the crazy part about the whole thing? These 2 brothers have never met. To this day, they don't even know each other.
Wait. So stop take. You said that they both have vasectomies because they didn't want to have kids, but they've never met each other?
They've never met.
Wow.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? That's like, you know, you the connection is there with the father, but it's a negative one. They both have a negative, but they didn't grow up together. They didn't grow up in the same household. They have siblings that have met. My wife's got a sister that she knows and a sister that she just met her sister a couple years back through Facebook, and they're getting connected because, again, Papa was out there. But these 2 men in different lives did the same procedure for the same reason and have never met.
That's crazy.
Crazy, y'all.
To this day, have never talked, have never spoken, have never looked at each other. One is in this area and one is in Peru or Miami or somewhere down there.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? So this thing, and some of us may not believe in a curse. They say, it ain't no curse, whatever. But, the stories are too similar to say that, okay, that this is just a coincidence that's happening to families.
Yeah, that ain't no coincidence. I'm sorry. Yes, man. Wow.
Yes. Kind of blew my mind too.
I mean, it would sound like they got together and it's like, yeah, bro, let's go handle this together. You know, like boys, but not to have never met each other.
That's what I thought. I thought they were in cahoots. Let's shut down the family. You know what I mean? Let's not let any of these kids come up with the genes from our father. No, they never met. You see, and think of the kind of person that this man would have had to have been for you to say, I'm gonna cut my own generation. There's no kids, there's no nothing.
And that's a powerful statement you just made right there, because everybody has some good in them.
Yeah.
And to literally go that far, just like you said, that we don't want children to come up with this guy's DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's saying something. I mean, because everybody got at least a little bit of good in them. But for them not to even see that, or the bad was just so bad, it's like, no. We don't, no. Let's just cut this out right now.
Well, the bad was the abandonment. And when you have a child, you know, one night stand or whatever the case may be, and maybe you'll pop in, hey, how you doing? And then you out. That's abandonment. Or the father never showed up. I don't know who my father is. That's abandonment. And he hid it. He was pretty much doing it in multiple places. So they said, with this abandonment issue, I don't ever want my kid to go through abandonment issues. I mean, this is the story that I got. See, that's basically saying that I am destined to follow in his footsteps. So I'm going to make sure I don't have any kids so I don't abandon my kids.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I would think that it would make someone, you know, do the total opposite.
Yeah, that's like Beep was saying earlier. He said
yeah.
He didn't want to be like his father. And
exactly. I'm abandoned. I was abandoned, so I'm not going to abandon my kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it has. I mean, that's got to be extremely deep.
Yeah, wow. This thing is deep, man.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, for anybody that just came in within the last 25 minutes, half an hour, the topic is my marriage cursed? And I do have a monkey wrench.
Come on, man. Stop it. It's too much.
I do have a monkey wrench. We all watch the news.
Yes.
A lot of us have been following the Penn State incident with the 9 boys.
Yes.
I have a two-part question. Those boys that had that unfortunate incident with the coach, what kind of married man do you think they would turn out to be? Now just think about that question for a second, right? And let's just take one of those boys and turn it into a female, okay? That was molested.
I think they would be overprotected.
Overprotected?
Yeah, I mean, when they had their kids, they're not going to let that kid go to any camps, be involved in any.
Okay, any, I mean, it could be an array of things.
Yeah.
After dealing with that. But
no spending a night, no kids spending a night over.
Okay. Okay. The second part of that question is, now let's just say that it was a different scenario, but the boys were girls. And when the girls got old enough to marry, you married one of them.
Mm.
Now that woman is your wife. I mean, think about this. Some of us have married women that have been in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
That have been molested.
Some of us don't even know it.
And you don't even know it. We're dealing with things. We're dealing with issues we can't get to the bottom of. Certain things change. Certain things used to be one way. It's changed. Certain things we say trigger things. But we don't know why. She don't even know why.
Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Hmm? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't, because that's not something that, and we've talked about this before, that's not something that's going to come out when you're, and, you know, during the courtship stage.
You want to fuck with you?
That's not something that may come out in the first 5 years, you know, or 10 years. You may never, I mean, because for them to tell us that, right, they have to know that we're mature enough to handle it.
Yep. And a lot of us ain't.
Yeah.
Especially.
Ooh. Go ahead.
Especially if, you know, we're dealing with family that had 13 divorces.
Yeah.
You know, your wife tell you that. It's like, and you didn't tell me this before we got married? I'm out.
Yep.
Yeah, but which part would you be out? The 13 divorce part or the part that she may have been molested?
Either one.
The part that she didn't tell you, you know, and it's a combination of both, because the 13 divorce part, like the brother said earlier, is that, I mean, that's just what the family does.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, that's what we do. They probably got a divorce lawyer on speed dial. You know, just call up, you know, Craig or whoever. He gets you taken care of.
Okay. All right.
So I think it's a combination of both.
I got that. But now let's flash back to the boys.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we know how that happens. One boy comes out, then another one comes out, then another one comes out, then another one comes out. They don't all come out at the same time.
Yeah.
They got to get courage to do it. Somebody paved the way for them to tell what happened.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? But if it was a one-time incident, I mean, how can it be something where you can hold them accountable for not telling you if they just don't have the courage to do it? I mean, just a man, you know, you got 8 boys that were molested.
Right.
Now, their story's out, but their names, because of their age, their names will never be in the news. Not now, unless when they get old enough of age and they come out and tell the story again. So we don't know who they are. I'm pretty sure the names aren't out because they're minors. So anyway, when they get of age and get into a relationship, do you see a guy volunteering that information?
Yeah, because, Mr. Host, if anybody's actually heard the story, you know, of what actually happened, you know, literally, the guy said he looked into the showers and saw a naked boy, about 10 years old, with his hands up against the wall, being subject to anal intercourse by a grown man. Now, rewind back to, and I think they said he heard rhythmic slapping sounds. Now, rewind to your question about what type of husband this guy will be. First and foremost, he may not even
get married.
Exactly. He may be so damaged from that he don't even go, you know, the female route. He go the male route just because of what he was subject to at 10 years old. Hands up against the wall in the shower. Grown man. So be back to your question. I mean, marriage material. I mean, he's going to have some. He's definitely going to need some personal counseling. You know, just on an individual basis before he gets into a marital situation. Because you can't even imagine that happening to you? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're right. But again, it's getting hot in this kitchen. It's getting hot. Yeah, right now.
I mean, we got to break it down, man.
Yeah. But again, a lot of times we don't realize what may have happened.
Mm-hmm.
When we take offense to a comment that our spouse may say to us, or a way that they're treating us.
Yeah, we don't know what it's rooted in.
We don't know what it's rooted in. We don't know. We may not know why we fly off the handle. We as men fly off the handle when our dinner's not ready when we come home from work. You know what I'm saying? Or the room isn't clean, or somebody didn't do what you said do. You know? And you may not even be that kind of person, or not even know it. You know what I mean? But all of a sudden now you're angry because just something didn't go to the letter. You know, and certain things happen. People getting bullied at school or whatever the case may be, but these are things that affect the family. Because now you got a mean streak for whatever reason. You don't know. Your son, because you his hero, is watching this mean streak. And he doesn't know that one day he's going to have a mean streak. And not know why.
I think you said something interesting earlier about Ancestry.com. If you didn't know your father or grow up with your father, a lot of times that we don't investigate, we don't take the time to research them to try to find, you know, to try to head some of this stuff off. And, you know, as the brother said earlier, you know, his mother would tell him, hey, man, you sound just like your father. Now, how is that possible? His father rolled out on him 2 weeks before the ink was dry 2 weeks before he was born and has never been a fact in his life. So how 30 years later he's going to be sitting there talking to his mother and she remark, you sound just like your father. How is that possible other than DNA?
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Hey, but it's real.
It's real.
It's as real as we on this phone. It's as real as, I mean, our actions will affect our children's children, whether we want it to or not.
Yep.
Yes.
What we do today is going to affect people that aren't even here yet.
I think you might have to say that again.
I will say it again. What we do today will might affect people that aren't even here.
Why do you think kings remain, their bloodline remain, you know, royalty? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they have offspring, they are trained in that manner, depending upon how the king wants them to be raised. And hopefully they'll be better kings and better men than the king that, you know, that they were.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Same thing. It's the same thing between the father and the son, or father and his daughter. It's the same thing. You know, I always say it, man, you know, people that have kids, man, you want your kids to be better people than you were at an earlier age, because you instilled in them the things that you have endured and the experiences that you have seen and had to go through, that they won't have to go through that. Even though in some facets of the imagination, you still have, you know, those kids are still going to go through whatever they go through, but they know. And you know, when they get your age, they're going to be like, well, you know, my old man did tell me that this is going to happen if I do this, if I do that. So, it all it totally boils down to what the kids, you know, when a kid become a man or a woman, a couple of adults, you know what I'm saying, the teachers that you instill in your kids, like I embed in my son, you know, respect all. Regardless, you give everybody respect due. You know, everybody ain't going to give you the respect back, but the ones that will help you through life are the ones that are going to respect you back, one way or another. So, it's the same thing with kids, man. You know, we all know what we're talking about tonight. However, with our kids, you know, you want your kids to be better people than yourselves at an early age, because they're living through your footsteps. So at the age of 16, if you was a wild boy, if you was, you had multiple women, or you was living, the high life, you was in the drug game, or you was in a gang, or whatever the case may be, you want them to be better than that. So you might be a little bit more stern on them and tell them what I'm saying? And some people don't know how to react to that. Some people don't know how to raise their children to be like that because nobody showed them. You see what I'm saying?
Good words.
Good words. Anybody else on that? That's good words.
Deep tonight.
Yeah. But as fathers, as men, we have a lot on our plate. And I think tonight we just got a little bit more. But how do you protect your generation behind you? How do you protect your kids' kids' kids? How do you stop it? You know what I'm saying? Like right now, I saw it with my father. I saw it with my grandfather. And yes, it got me. And I wasn't smart enough to know it was a setup. I wasn't smart enough to know it was a setup. I thought it was cool. You know what I mean? To be like him. You know, and today, just like Peyton said, he's a humble man. You know, he's not reading the Bible or anything like that. Not that I know of. But he's a humble man because he's older now. And he doesn't have it in him anymore. You know. But the things that I saw was imprinted in me. You know. And I get that. You sound just like your father. You know, and some of us would, take that as a compliment because some of us want to be like him. You know, but how do you move forward and say, okay, now I've got a son, right? And I don't want him to be like me. I don't want him to do, or, I'm not saying I don't want to be like me, because some of us are great. But with our flaws, because we all are flawed in some respect. And we don't want to deal with that with our sons, because guess what? We have to deal with it in the long run. So the question is, how do we prevent that from happening? How do we get rid of this curse?
Stand up and be a man of walk. Let your son see the way you walk.
Good words. By action.
Yeah. You got to lead by example, as we always say. But you said, you sound like your father. Has anybody ever told you you look like your father, and it wasn't a compliment? Like, you hear it, and you're just like...
Yeah, you in the grand ignore. You don't know if it was a compliment or a disrespect.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you like this. It was a time I didn't see my younger sister. It was probably about 5-6 years. And I decided, I had started trucking. And I was, my sister moved to Charlotte after, her mother and our father, divorced. And the last thing, it was about 5-6 years, I believe it was, that I called up one day. I said, I'm in Charlotte. I want to see you. I ain't seen you in so long. I want to know what you look like. And so we met at this old drop yard in Charlotte. And, her mother, which was pretty much my stepmother, and her, they drove up, and I got out the truck. And, her mother started crying. I mean, bawling. And the first thing out of her mouth was, "Look, she's like your daddy."
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to take it. I didn't know how to take it as far as, like, is that a, I know how you feel about my father, but, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know what I'm saying? Did I hear, I finally figured out the story behind it. And now I understand fully why she said that. You know what I'm saying? Because it was at a point in time when my mother was pregnant with me. My father never claimed me until I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he told his second wife, my sister's mother, that I wasn't his. You understand what I'm saying? But here it is, you know, I'm grown now, and I look just like the man.
That's because you got his DNA. You got his DNA.
You know what I'm saying? And you won't know, hey, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? Long time no see. Hey, boy. It was the first thing out of my mouth was you look just like your daddy.
Mm.
Real talk. You know, God strike me down, I'm lying. My sister's sitting right here. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I'm saying?
Wow.
First thing
I heard
out was that.
Wow. And the crazy part.
And my sister just said she can't do that all the time. That looked just like him.
And the crazy part about all of that is, and it may have been a negative comparison, may have been, because of the history. But you had nothing to do with that history.
Nothing.
And now you feeling uncomfortable about something you shouldn't feel uncomfortable about.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like you being accused. You know, mistaken identity.
Remember, we carry that family name. So you carry all the traits of that family name.
Mm-hmm.
Either you want to or not. You know, as the male of the family, you carry all that burden on your shoulder. Because you're the only one that can pass on the generation. Or that family name stops, you know. Because the daughters leave the family.
Yeah.
And they go off with their husbands and start a new family. You are the family. You represent the family name.
Yep.
So you bring the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the, you know, your father, all that is you. So it goes to that one fact. If you want to stop it, you got to look in the mirror. If you want this curse to stop, you got to look in the mirror and stop it. Nobody else can do it.
So you're saying look in the mirror is all it takes. And
yeah.
I'm going to stop this thing.
I mean, think about it. How many men really have this conversation with other men, let alone have this conversation with themselves in the mirror?
Say that again. You got to say that one more time.
Call is with everybody. How many men really actually do that? I guarantee you, it's very, very slim. Very slim. Very slim.
Wow.
You know, somebody that come out the blue and say, you know, I want to make my bloodline better. I want to make my family stronger. So start the day as a man, as a father, you know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, make my children, you know, embed in my children the positive or the love or the power of family.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The power of respect and honor. That's real talk, man. How many men doing that?
I don't know.
How many black men?
Only us.
I don't know. This is my first time.
My grandfather, you know what I'm saying? I mean, man, I had to be about 15 years old. I kid you not. My mother's father, my grandfather, that's pretty much the man that raised me. You know, truth be told.
Sure.
And my grandfather told me I had to be about 15. See, this is way before I graduated. So, you know, he was like, I want you to be the one that the family depends on. You know what I'm saying? I want you to carry the family. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everything fails now that my grandfather's gone. You know, it's been 2 years in November. You know, this past November. 2 years this month. It rings bells now.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Ben told me. I mean, he has a son. He's an older brother. He got two daughters. One of them is my mother. But he told me that.
Yeah.
He wants me to carry the family through.
Well, what does that mean? Well, what does that mean, I want you to carry the family name? What exactly does that translate to?
That's a strong name.
Is that what it is?
Nicholson is a strong name.
Okay. I mean, I'm not doubting. I'm just asking, you know. So because it's a strong name, we got to carry this name.
That's right. That's right. You carry the traditions. You said it earlier, you know. Now they got Ancestry.com. You know, somebody had to go through something for you to get here.
Right.
Somebody had to go through something.
Okay.
And you're going to have to go through something to carry, you know, for your kids to make it in life.
Okay.
You're
going
to have to teach them. So you're going to teach them what you would learn, hopefully by, you know, that family trait. And you're going to add on, and you're going to pass on the good and leave behind the bad, but maybe just talk about the bad. Say, hey, you know, tell you the good and the bad about your grandparents.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Yeah,
gotcha.
That's right.
And B, we can literally hear your sister rubbing your feet down.
Exactly. But man, it's a balance because, now don't get me wrong, my grandfather was there every step of the way, as far as both my granddaddies, matter of fact, and saw the bad that my father did to my mother, okay? But they never spoke of it to me because they already knew that somebody was going to come along in my life and tell me what it was. And everybody has done that already. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it was already up to them, especially my mother's father. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what they may, you know, that what he may feel personally about my father, you know what I'm saying? It don't even matter. You still got to honor that man.
Yeah.
I just finished talking to my old man tonight, you know, about some personal stuff, but, I mean, I still talk to him.
Yeah.
So I don't have no animosity towards him because my thing is, if I didn't endure what I went through with him, would I be the same man today? See, I look at the biggest scheme of things also. You know, it's very important, especially if you are followers of Jesus. You know, it says in the Bible, you know, when you were a child, you do childish things. When you become a man, you got to put away childish things. Well, see, that's one of the things you got to put away. Your childhood, especially if it was, you know, bad. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't have it, didn't have it like me, or have it like cousin, or have it like my sister, or have it like my brother sitting here. You understand what I'm saying? That actually had a father in their lives. He may not have been no good, or he could have been a lot better, you know what I'm saying? But even still, you know, you can't use that as an excuse there because you know. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people, a lot of adults, even the ones older than me, they still look back at their childhood like, this is the reason why I am. No, you can't use that as an excuse now. You're a man. You are experienced now. You see what the world has dealt you. You know right from wrong. Regardless if it was your father that taught you, your grandfather, or your uncle, or your adoptive parents, or even the police, even the system, you can't use it as an excuse no more.
Mm-hmm.
Either you do right or you do wrong, one way or another. And that's the bottom line.
And but, Mr. Hove?
Yeah.
I have a monkey wrench.
Go ahead.
I hope you're all sitting down. I know B is. He's getting his feet rubbed down, but I think identity theft plays a part in this conversation. Because identity theft, I know you've all heard of it, and It's a form of stealing another person's identity, in which someone pretends to be someone else by assuming that person's identity. And the victim of identity theft, you know, the person whose identity has been assumed by the identity thief, can suffer adverse consequences if he is held accountable for the perpetrator's actions.
Wow.
Individuals who are duped or defrauded by the identity thief can also suffer adverse consequences and losses. And to that extent, the identity, the person who's defrauded is also a victim. So it's I mean, it's almost like an impersonation, identity fraud. Because as we said earlier about, she said that, brother, you look just like your daddy. But he already said that he's nothing, he's trying to be everything not like his daddy. But he cannot run away from his DNA.
That's right. Cannot.
But I think it's somehow the whole identity, I don't know how I was thinking of, y'all were talking about something, I just was thinking about identity theft. Maybe somebody can help me, you know, bring this home. But I just think that that somehow plays a part in this whole thing that we're discussing tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And just like I said, sometimes it's a case of mistaken identity.
There you go. That's the help.
Mistaken identity. Yeah, I look like my father, but that's it.
Yeah, I sound like
you know what
it
mean?
Too.
I'm not taking that beef. That's it. I ain't like him. I ain't like him. I don't do what he does. Yeah, I seen it and I saw it enough where now I'm not rolling that way. You know, and the person that you're saying that to is probably like, praise the Lord, because they know. They know. You know, but again, you know, hopefully that, you know, that's not the case. Hopefully you look like your father and he was a good man. I mean, that's what we want to hear. You know what I mean? He was whoever, somebody successful, just did well by the family. You know, and you can hold your head up high, but a lot of times that's not the case.
Mr. Host, that's actually my case. And
that's what I was waiting for.
You asked the question about 45 minutes ago.
I did.
And I let the question pass me by.
You
for the folks that didn't hear the question, it was about, did your father, you know, was he, did he fly straight? And you fly straight. And I pondered, you know, answering the question, but it wasn't time for me to answer the question yet. But that's my father. My parents are still married to this day, 42 years. My grandparents were married 60-plus years before my grandfather died, and my grandmother has not remarried or, to my knowledge, dated anybody else seriously, definitely not seriously. My older brother has been married for almost two decades. And my father was a great man, and I actually went to an event. I was invited to an event. I talked to the guy that knows me and my family, but he probably hasn't seen me since maybe 20 years ago, if not 25 years ago, but when I was a little lad. And I called him out of the blue, talked to him, and he said, you know, come on out to my event. You know, it's you know, I'll take care of you. I walk in, and he sees me. You know, for the, I mean, I haven't seen this guy for a long time, you know, 25 years. You know, I'm a grown man now. Last time he saw me, I was probably in elementary school playing Little League or whatever the case may be. But he knows my family. He knows of me. He knows my parents. He knows my father. He knows my brother. But I haven't seen the man, you know, long time. But literally, I walk in the place, see him. He's like, man, you look just like your daddy. And as the host just said, I could hold my head high. I said, absolutely. I own that. It was a compliment. Because my daddy was for real. I mean, he was a good head of household. You know, now I don't know all the things that, you know, went down, but from my vantage point as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, I mean, my father did his thing as the head of household, and he's still there. I just saw him last weekend, you know, I mean, last week for Thanksgiving, you know, and parents still married. So, I mean, you know, back to your question 45 minutes ago, Mr. Host, I mean, that, you know, has happened to me, and I can hold my head high, you know, when it comes to my father. Because he was a great father to me and my brother.
Good words. Legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And y'all know me. I mean, y'all know me. I pretty much fly straight. You know, I'm the ideal, you know, guy or whatever. I mean, I'm just as square peg as you want to put it, you know, for those of you that really know me. But I mean, but that's where it started. And looking at this this topic, and thinking about the topic, you know, I was like, is my marriage cursed? You know, I said, absolutely not. You know, but on the flip side, my marriage is blessed.
Mm.
And I think that when you look at it, as the host said earlier, you know, people don't think about, oh, you know, my marriage ain't cursed. But is it blessed? And I, you know, just thinking about the topic, I just felt that it's got to be one or the other.
Sure.
It can't be just, oh, you know, I'm just married. You know, it's got to be your marriage is either cursed or blessed, one or the other. And as the host said, you know, I got legacy. You know, and, you know, thankfully if I stay around long enough, you know, my two young daughters, they bear witness to how my wife of 12 years and I react, you know, and interact. And, you know, love is in the home. And, you know, it's, again, it's just as ideal and you know, June Cleaver and Leave It to Beaver and all that. I mean, it's just as square as you want it to be. And when they get of age and start dating and get married and have a family, of course they won't do that until they're 45. You know, I'm not going to allow anybody to date them until then.
Sure.
But, I mean, anyway, long story short, I mean, they're not going to, I would hope that they would look for a guy that's like their dad. You know, like Beyonce wrote that song, I want my son to be just like my daddy, you know. I would hope they would look for a guy that has my qualities.
That's good words, man. And I'm glad, because a lot of times you do add balance to this call, and we need that.
Yeah.
The topic tonight, is my marriage cursed? So I think we've identified some generational curses. I think we have. So the word curse is in this conversation. And I think that if you think of someone that has alcoholism, that can be considered some kind of curse, or you know, drug addiction, some kind of curse in the family, that, you know, if you're an alcoholic, your son may be an alcoholic. Your daughter may, one of your kids may follow that because they've seen you getting twisted. So now they're going to get twisted. Or you had, like in my house, my parents had a bar in my room because that was the only available space, and every night they had what's called a cocktail. Cocktail.
Wow.
Every night. Didn't miss a night. And they're
wow.
still doing it today. Didn't miss a night. You know what I mean? And I had access to it, so I didn't become alcoholic because there was no thrill to it. There's nothing, you know, no excitement there. But anyway, it could happen, certain things. And I asked the question earlier, how do we prevent this generation curse? And somebody said to lead by example, to show them the right way to do it. And someone else said to keep the family tree and to keep the legacy alive and keep traditions alive. Okay, Now, the things that we do in the light are what they see, correct?
Yep.
But what about the things we do in the dark?
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
So when we say curse, are we talking traits, or are we talking, or are we talking both maybe, traits and upbringing?
Meaning, I'm not going to say upbringing.
Okay, so I'm saying meaning things that you have, something that is genetically born in you?
Yes.
Or things that you saw, things that you witnessed, things that you were exposed to in your upbringing?
It's even a little deeper than that.
Okay.
This gentleman said that, you know, he was accused of doing something like a father that he had never seen his father do.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that, you know, and somewhere it's written, and again, this is not Bible study, but somewhere it is written that certain things that you may do may lead to a generational curse for 3 or 4 generations until
mm-hmm.
it's dealt with. So that's the curse that I'm referring to.
Okay.
Okay, now, the things that we do out in the light and the examples that we set as good head of households and husbands, those are great, but the things that we do in the dark. And the question that I want to ask is, pornography a curse?
Mm. Yep.
You said yes?
Yeah? It is. Oh, yo, my old man had a collection.
There
yo,
it is.
My dad had the real. He go back
there and
go home. You
know what I'm saying? Now, did he share his collection with you?
So what now?
Did he share his collection with you?
I'm going to give you one even better. I worked at a porno shop for 1.5 years.
Wow.
You said what?
Before I became a truck driver. I kid you not.
Yeah.
You worked there?
I worked there. I was a cashier there, yes.
Wow.
I met porn stars. You ain't saying nothing.
Wow.
Some of y'all, some of them probably in your collection.
That's
you
good.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm keeping it true.
Man. Wow.
I mean, think about it, man. I mean, if you do not think that pornography is a curse, please say, I don't think it's a curse. Because we had this conference a few years back, this main topic, and people argued us down. Ain't no curse, we just like it. It's just something we do on the weekends when mama's at the mall. You know what I'm
saying?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, right or wrong? Now look.
Your closet, I felt this shit.
What is that? I'm going to paint a scenario. Proving my point. Okay, and now these are things that we do that some kind of way our sons may end up doing, and their sons may end up doing without knowing why they do it. And I'm going to paint a picture. Saturday afternoon, you're in the house watching the game or whatever, college football. Wife comes down and says, hey, I'm taking the kids to the mall. I'll be about 2 hours. You're like, okay, I'll be right here. They go on, you hear the door slam, you hear the garage door open, you hear the garage door close. You know? Right? So you're sitting there, you're like, why? You're watching the game. You ain't thinking about nothing else but the game. Then a thought comes to you. Go on that website. Log up that website. Ain't nobody home. Check it out. You log it up, then you in it. And you're looking at one act. Nah, that ain't good enough. She flip around, you think, nah, she ain't fat enough. You look at another one. Nah, she ain't fat enough. I don't like that cum shot. You look at another one. Oh, that ain't right. You in for an hour and 45 minutes.
Mama on her way back home.
Mama on her way back, and you still ain't rubbed one out because you still looking for that perfect shot. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's what makes you get in. from doing nothing to that. Was the mind that idle where it's like, I'm not doing anything but watching the game, to now you find yourself almost 2 hours in a pornography website? Right or wrong? It happens. It happens to the best of us. And we flying straight. We go to work. We teach our kids right. We don't curse in front of them. We don't beat them. We do everything right. But it's that time of darkness when we say, why is this thing consistently calling my name?
Well, is that really saying that all of us are from the same family?
No. No. I was just talking about the examples that we
need. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we have also examples that that nobody knows about, that can still slide into that category of a generational curse.
Yeah, and you talked about the stash. You know, if grandfather had a stash, father had a stash, you had a stash, you know, that's a pattern there.
That's three. That's three
right.
Generations, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. Did you ever see grandfather's stash? Did grandfather ever let you watch him, view him watching pornography?
That's
no.
Right.
Did daddy ever say, hey, son, come on here and look at Debbie Does Dallas? No. No, that didn't happen. You may have been.
That's real.
You may have been peeping, looking for some loose change in his room and ran across his stash. Because back then, they didn't have internet websites.
Right.
So it was all, like Patrice said, reel to reel, DVDs. They weren't even CDs.
Videos.
Video, VHS, or 8-tracks, or whatever they had back there. But they had something that was tangible. Now it's not even tangible. You can block it. You can hide it. You can disguise it. You can rename it NFL.com. You see what I'm saying? But we didn't see that. But how did it come down to us?
Too strong tonight, Tony. Too strong.
I'm just saying because it's easier said. Okay, well let's just like the brother said, he was told to keep the family name. Keep the family name alive. But does that request come with directions?
It usually doesn't. It just is kind of vague.
It's just find out how to do it.
Right.
And keep it alive. Keep having babies. Keep having boys. Keep that name alive. Teach them right. But this
now,
thing, go ahead.
I was just going to say, now, how much of this do we think has to do with daddy's curse as opposed to the fallen nature of man itself?
Because,
we're born in sin, shaping into iniquity. The chase after a skirt is nothing new to a man.
No.
To look at pornography, I don't think at some point in time or another, I think all men might have at least tasted of that to some degree. Now, whether or not they completely indulged, whether or not we completely indulged in it or not is another thing.
Yeah.
So how much do we think are we talking about is daddy's nature or granddaddy's nature? Or do we go, how many granddaddies do we go back before we end up at the fallen nature of man?
Mm.
In other words, just get to the root cause of it.
That's deep.
That is deep.
And I don't think we know what percentage, relates to that or is, as the brother said earlier, is that, his dad acted like that, but he wasn't raised like that himself. You know, his grandfather didn't act like that. His grandparents that raised his father didn't act like that, so it kind of just came. It started with his father.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we know what percentage to assign it to the fall of man and the percentage. percentage to assign it just to, you know, the generational stuff. I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult,
yeah.
you know, to properly
yeah.
assign the.
Got yeah.
Yeah.
But throughout the course of this call, it seemed as though some generational stuff was being identified. And a lot of it's got to do with mankind, big time, because it had to come into that generation from some source.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's whether you keep it and keep it in there or you shun it away and say, no, I'm not going to expose my generation to this.
Yeah.
You know, because I do believe that, you know, as head of households, we do have a certain responsibility and we do have the power. Whether it's to the extreme by saying, I'm going to get a vasectomy, or it's the other extreme where you just say, look, I'm not going to have any kids until I know that I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that we've heard a lot of the extremes tonight on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an extreme to say, I'm not having no kids until I know I'm right.
Exactly.
But
that's, you know,
that's the Adam or Abraham syndrome. You'd be 100 years old talking about him.
You ain't going to be right.
Because
you ain't going to be right.
You ain't going to be right.
You ain't going to be right at all. You know, but, man. I don't know, man. Rodney, this is a little deep conversation night we had.
Very deep, bro. Very deep. Very deep. But it's always, you know, it's always, you know, like this, and that's why we come here every week, because it's all about, you know, you ask the question, you know, how do we stop it, and it, you know, it's part of leading by example, but you have to get the tools, and, you know, you just have to talk some of this stuff out, because it can blindside you,
yeah.
you know, if you're not aware of where some of your actions are rooted in. And, you know, if you don't acknowledge, you have to acknowledge that, yeah, you know, I got to worry about that temper. You know, my daddy had a temper, my granddaddy had a temper, whatever the case may be. You have to keep that stuff in check, because it could get out of hand and ultimately be the destruction of your family. And you know,
sure.
then you're looking at the situation like, man, how'd that happen? You know?
Yeah. And I think that, but as we know, there's an out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I started this conversation, those that came in late tonight, talking about my grandfather and his shortcomings, rolling down to my father, rolling down to me, and it was like clockwork, you know, the way it happened, and some other people talked that too, and like I said, you know, the curses that have destroyed my first marriage will not destroy my second marriage.
Mm.
Because I've taken steps to prevent that from happening. You know, and the one responsibility that I believe that we have as married men, if we do not do this, if we take it lightly, then these curses and these things that we don't have any help defeating are always going to be there. But there's certain things that you have to do, I believe, and this is my opinion, and again, I'm just going to say my opinion, but I have to believe that you have got to introduce your family and all the issues, bring it to the table and take it to the altar at some point.
Right.
And introduce them to Jesus, period.
Amen.
Right.
I mean, because this is not, these things that we talk about, from generations to generations to generations that are bigger than us. A lot of times we talk about, yeah, you know, my father and now me, my grandfather and now me. And we talk, and a brother said certain things that happened to him, he don't even know why they're happening, because he doesn't have a family directional kit that says, okay, well, this is how your father was, this is how his father was, blah, blah, blah. So he doesn't really know what to expect. And it's understandable. But we have to at some point say, but how am I going to get help and get some covering over these family curses? And that's the only thing that helped me when I said, Lord, I need some help. Because I failed at marriage. And I don't know why. I thought I did everything right. And I can't do it again because that's going to make me look like an idiot. Or a failure twice. You see what I'm saying? So that's what saved me. So now I understand, okay, and I'm not preaching. I'm just telling my story. This is what helped me understand and be able to have this show tonight in reference to is my marriage cursed. Just like Rodney said, either it's cursed or it's blessed. There's no in-between. But I think that we have to take all the necessary steps to make sure that it's blessed.
Right. Right.
And that's all I got to say on that one.
That's good words, man.
Give us the steps.
Not only to make sure that it's blessed, but make sure that it goes in the proper direction.
Yeah.
You know?
And it has to be maintained.
Somewhere, yeah.
It has to be maintained. I think that, you know, like I said, you know, my I got legacy around, you know, good marriages in my family. But yet, I'm on here talking to you guys every week. You know, just to make sure that I don't miss anything or whatever, that I'm prepared and, you know, because it's just not because, you know, my parents were married 42 years and my grandparents 60 and my brother married. I mean, that means nothing, you know, in the grand scheme of things unless I do what, you know, what we talk about, that marriage maintenance and just making sure, you know, that we're on the right track. Because when you look, the word curse, it means to afflict with great evil. Great evil. I mean, that befalls a whole group of people, you know, so.
Yep.
And the only way you can combat that is like the host said. I mean, you gotta put that stuff on the altar. I mean, because we know who's going to win that battle. Period. The end.
The end. I mean, realistically, and you said great evil, so if we're going to take it there, let's take it there. 13 marriages in one family failed.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not to keep talking about that, but think about this now. When you say great evil, that's an example right there. When it's like, okay, we're going to figure out how to keep this whole family, not the entire family, but the majority of the family, believing that marriage isn't what it's supposed to be or isn't all that it's cracked up to be or that you don't have to stay in a marriage or that God has nothing to do with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's accepted to get divorced and it's accepted to... The kids, you know, will think it's okay. That is cool. Like if it don't work, it don't work. Which is the total opposite, you know. And the brother that said that story, he don't think that way. He's like, I'm in this marriage to win it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my kids will not think that way. My kids will not see that. So that's the responsibility. He said, I know about the 13, but I'm not going to be the 14. And I just think it's that kind of responsibility that is a good example of what we all have to model after. Well, yeah, my kids won't be viewing that. Sorry, they're gonna see, you know, a strong marriage that's gonna stay till the end, and that's the picture that they'll have in their head. And then what? They'll be more selective with the man that they pick. They'll take their time getting married. They'll ask questions. They'll bring whoever it is. If they're girls, they'll bring whoever it is home to meet daddy, meet the family, all the traditional stuff.
Yeah, you look at the number 13.
Oh, you just took it there.
I mean, you look at the number 13, you know.
Yeah, wow.
That's no coincidence.
Man. No. no coincidence that we're here talking about it tonight. It is what it is. But I've enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. Great words. Great
words. I've enjoyed it. Does anybody know what next week's topic is? Do we have that out yet?
I do. And
okay.
I'm going to try to, you know, top this one, but I know I'm going to fall short. But the topic next week is, are you your mother's husband?
That's it. You want to break that down a little bit?
Google right there.
I think they know where I'm going, but, you know, literally it's, yeah, we're going to get into, are you playing the role in some aspects of being your mother's husband? I mean, it is what it is, but I've got a lot of twists and turns with that. And fellas, we all deal with it, some more than others with that. But I'm going to try to touch all the bases with that next week. So, yeah. Are you your mother's husband?
Now, I'm sorry, I got to ask this question because maybe it's not as clear to me as everybody else. So when you say that, is that playing on your wife as acting as your mother? Meaning when you say, are you your mother's husband, is that just a play on you indicating that your wife sometimes acts like your mother?
No.
Okay. Well, you actually talk about your mother. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about your mama.
Okay. No.
Yeah. Rodney, it's going to be dangerous now. You know we got the same name, so we got different mothers. But it's going to be dangerous next week. Tonight was dangerous, but come back next week. I'm going to liven it up. You know that. But it's going to be dangerous.
It's already dangerous if you talk about my mama.
That's right. That's right. You're right, brother. But, yeah, we're going to get into it next week. We're going to get into it next week. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, please don't hang up. This is the part that we're getting ready to go into called open mic. Those that are on the first time, we do not record open mic. So it can get a little buck wild. Hold on one second.